How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. It is Monday here on the show. It is Cyber Monday, and we'll tell you why that's so exciting coming up after the break. And no, I'm not talking about Raw tonight, although who knows? Maybe Raw will be a very exciting show here tonight. If it is, I hope it is more exciting than Starrcade yesterday. Not a horrible show, but there were two major problems with Starrcade. I'd like your thoughts on the show, by the way. 1-800-878-7529. Yes, we will take some phone calls later on today. 1-800-878-7529. Text messages 425-780-7566. The two big problems. Number one, they advertised and advertised and advertised that the main event was going to be Bobby Lashley versus Rusev in a last man standing match. Now, granted, why is their first match a last man standing match? Doesn't even make any sense. It's a stupid idea. But with that said, if you advertise a stupid idea, you got to do the stupid idea. They didn't. They advertised this match. They sold tickets. They got people watching. And lo and behold, they don't do the match. They go out there and Lana basically says Rusev is detained or whatever, and he's not going to make it out there. So there's just no match. There is no last man standing match. So then out comes Kevin Owens, and him and Bobby Lashley have a match, and Bobby Lashley wins that match by disqualification after, of all things, Rusev runs in. Now, I know it's 2019. I know there's a lot of fans that just, they don't care about false advertising. It doesn't matter to them. False advertising is false advertising, whatever. It's part of wrestling. They claim card subject to change. Not even remembering what card subject to change actually really means. But that's some blatant false advertising right there. And then on top of that, a lot of people couldn't even see the show, so they had to put it up for free on YouTube. We could talk about this and so much more on the show here today. Back in a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com. A couple of very important things here before we get going. It is Cyber Monday here. And if you happen to be traveling, hanging out with family, not at work, whatever on Friday, and you missed our Black Friday sale, well, what a lucky day it is for you because we're having a Cyber Monday sale. You can get one full month, unlimited access to WrestlingObserver.com for just $3.99. What does that mean? Well, for $3.99, over the next 30 days, you get as many as 20 podcasts every single week. We have 12 different podcasts available. There are 11,000 hours of archived content. Every radio show, every podcast that we have done since 2005 is available in the archives. That includes every edition of this show. Commercial-free, by the way. So if you're a fan of Wrestling Observer Live, you can get commercial-free downloads within about 5 minutes after the show goes off the air as a subscriber. Myself and Dave Meltzer tonight are doing a Wrestling Observer Radio. You can hear that as a subscriber. Tomorrow, the Brian and Vinny Show. We'll be doing that one, talking Retro Raw 19 years ago this week. Retro Raw Nitro. You can hear that one. Last night's Brian and Vinny Show with Granny. All of these podcasts. Wrestling Weekly, Big Audio Nightmare, Dragon King Carl Show, After Dark, Josh Nason's Punch-Out, Jim Valley's Pacific Rim, Portland Wrestlecast, so much more. Filthy Four Daily later this afternoon with myself and Filthy Tom. All of these podcasts available, $3.99. Wrestling Observer Newsletter every Thursday. Brand new 35 to 40,000 word Wrestling Observer Newsletter will be available to you as a subscriber. Thousands of them in the archives dating back to 1990. Figure Four Weekly, thousands of issues. Figure Four Weekly available in the archives. Our entire archive is available. We have interviews with everybody from Steve Austin, Bruno Sammartino, Hiroshi Tanahashi, Chris Jericho, Ric Flair, Bret Hart, Okada, Jushin Thunder Liger, and so many others. All of those available in the archives. It is only $3.99 right now for you from now until midnight, I believe midnight Pacific. So you got till 3 a.m. Eastern, but you better sign up now because this is the last time we're doing this for a year. So jump up there. If you've never signed up, it's $3.99. I promise you. I guarantee if you like this show, you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. It is the best value. It is a better value than the WWE Network. We have like twice as much archived content as the WWE Network. So head up there, check it out. If you have a commute, if you listen to things when you work out, whatever, wherever you listen to audio, you will never run out of audio with a subscription. It's like the Smithsonian. In your whole lifetime, you could never take advantage of all of this. And just more every day gets added. So check it out at WrestlingObserver.com. And if you're watching on video, video.f4wonline.com, right here, 100 things WWE fans should know and do before they die. It is available right now on Amazon.com. My new book, 100 things WWE fans should know and do before they die. What it is a history book of WWE, basically. And you can grab it now at Amazon.com. It's available in a Kindle edition. It's available in a softcover edition. However you like to read your books, the only one you can't get is the Audible version, because there isn't one. But there is an Audible version of Death of WCW, as well as hardcover, softcover, and Kindle versions of that book as well. So for yourself, the wrestling fan in your life, 100 things WWE fans should know and do before they die. Grab it now, everybody. That's my plugs. I'm done for the day. Don't miss out. Do you hear me?
I hear you.
I just want to make sure that everybody hears me when I say don't miss out. You'll regret it. I promise you'll regret it. All right. Hey, got an email here, which I got to read, which is a great email. Has there ever been a wrestling company guilty of more blatant false advertisement than WWE, especially in the past few years? WCW, they had, well, you know what happened to them. Yes, WCW was worse. WCW was much worse. And it helped run them out of business. It was one of many things that led to them losing $62 million by the time that the year 2000 rolled around. And then a few months later, they were out of business. WWE ain't going to go out of business. But if you look at like their house show attendance, if you look at literally anything where they're trying to get fans to go to a building, I mean, it's down. And this is one of the reasons. I realize you got a Kevin Owens match last night. I realize that people really like to see Kevin Owens. But that was blatant false advertising. And the funniest thing about it is, do you guys remember Talking Smack? You guys remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I remember that show. Everybody loved it.
Yeah.
So Talking Smack, Daniel Bryan and The Miz were having this great back and forth on Talking Smack. This was before Daniel Bryan got cleared. This was back when the company thought that Daniel Bryan was never going to wrestle again. And Vince got so angry. And he shut that down because Vince didn't want them promoting a match they weren't going to deliver. And then a couple of weeks ago, it might have even been this past Monday on Raw, there was a Seth Rollins. It was during Seth Rollins. It was this past Monday. Seth was out there. He was doing his Raw speech. And the fans started to chant for CM Punk. And he cut an unscripted promo on CM Punk. And Vince got furious. Why? Because Vince doesn't want you to promote a match he's not going to deliver. The same Vince McMahon who is constantly promoting matches that he's not going to deliver, including the one last night at Starrcade. It is a profound irony. But that happened yesterday.
Well,
what do you want me to do about it?
It's carnyism. You know what I mean? Jack Pfeffer, way back in the day, using deception, talking about you can come see Bruno San Martino and Bummy Rogers and gentlemen of the like. Vern Gagne continuing to promote Hulk Hogan when he knew Hulk Hogan was not going to show up at the end of 1983 as he was going to jump to the WWF. Continued to do it. WCW completely sinking their house show business by treating it like it was garbage and having no shows on a constant basis, having, and you know, no offense to just throw out a name, Brady Boone or whoever, I think he was gone by then, but like, you know, those gentlemen of the world wrestling 2 and 3 matches because you had so many people no show. Forget about you were not going to get to see Kevin Nash and Scott Hall. You're not even going to get to see Mang and the Barbarian, or you know, you're just, it was just a disaster area and they killed it. And WWE is in a little bit of a different way in that they just, they're advertising the name and they've been doing that for a long time. So they use a lot of sleight of hand that way, but I think this is more of an issue with their planning and with their booking than anything, because the reality is storylines where somebody had to sub for somebody else because there was a no-touch order or this happened or that happened. That happens all the time in pro wrestling. It always did. But the point was you actually had a backup plan. You had some doubt hanging over the match before you went into it. So the fans knew that they weren't going to get that match, or you knew something was amiss. You know, they just flat advertised the Last Man Standing match and just didn't back it up at all, where you had the complete option to tell a story if you wanted to, because the story is everywhere Rusev goes, he can never get a hold of Lashley because he's got an order slapped against him. You could have played that into the story if you did even the slightest bit of planning going in and knew that there was going to be something that happened, or give the fans the idea that there could be something that happened, whether they knew it was Owens or not.
This person here says, they took your idea of saving the Lashley-Rusev grudge match for TLC pay-per-view, but in the worst way possible. Basically, WWE, just like with their pre-shows, are teaching us not to care about these one-hour network specials. You know what's funny about this Last Man Standing match, besides the idea that it's so stupid to start a feud with a Last Man Standing match? So last night, like, they advertised two matches. They advertised two matches for Starrcade. The matches they advertised for the network special were Lashley Rusev Last Man Standing and the Kabuki Warriors, Becky and Charlotte, Bayley and Sasha, and Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. Those were the ones that they advertised for the network special, okay? How about you just not put the Lashley-Rusev match on the network special? Knock yourself out. Give the people a Last Man Standing match in the building. But there were 11 matches on that show. They only advertised two for the network special. Why don't you put two other matches on there instead? Instead, they had to put Lashley Rusev on there, then realized they didn't want to give that match away for free in a network special, then they just didn't do the match. Back in a moment, Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. If you'd like to contact us here today, 425-780-7566 is the text message line, 425-780-7566. And hey, if you got something valid to say today, if you've got something to add to the conversation, 1-800-878-7529, 1-800-878-7529. There's really not a lot of news today. That'll be happening over the next couple of days. We'll be getting the ratings for the AEW and NXT shows here literally moments after we go off the air, I presume, so you can get ready for that. This person here says, WWE should not do Starrcade anymore, and if they do, don't air it. Advertising Rusev and not delivering the match was the big one. The mic stuff with Flair, the practically empty arena, full card not airing, having a render in the network with Bray, Roman, Miz, yet having none of them on, network issues, free upload to YouTube, all a large yikes.
Does everyone remember why this show came to be? Came to be because they were upset with, what was it, WrestleCade? It was a big convention that was taking place down there, a NWA, a Mid-Atlantic Wrestling Fan Fest that was incredibly successful. And heaven forbid we can't have that happen, especially when they own the name Starrcade, so they were going to make sure that they were going to be down there and running some sort of event, and this is what they did. And it is a complete bastardization of the name Starrcade, of course. There's no surprise there, you know, that there's just, it is what it is. But why they bothered to even go through the lengths that they did, I don't understand. Just play the show basically with a hard camera. If you want to have announcers there, fine, but you would be better off just doing that than trying to treat it as anything semi-special or semi-unique or whatever it is. You would have been just better to show a house show where people came out and Charlie could have interviewed him on the ramp, or whoever could have interviewed him on the ramp, legends from the past. And I think you have gotten more people in a better response out of something like that than, again, this half-assed production / TV presentation that you put on, whatever the hell it was. It surely wasn't a special event. They can't classify it as that because it was special, just not in a good way.
Sportsman here says, I want to say Starrcade was okay last night. However, two things irritated me significantly. One was WWE continuing to push the narrative that it was the Kabuki's fault that Charlotte was a jerk at Survivor Series, and Charlotte no-selling offense from pretty much everyone else in the match, along with effortlessly taking out both the Kabuki Warriors in a one-on-two situation. Hey, it's Starrcade. Charlotte Flair got to shine at Starrcade. I don't have a problem with that, but I do have a problem with them trying to tell me that, like, it wasn't Charlotte's fault. It was absolutely Charlotte's fault at Survivor Series.
Not only is it Charlotte's fault at Survivor Series, look at what we have tonight. She wants to face off against both Kari and Asuka, and they're framing this as if Kari was interfering so much that Charlotte wants them both in the ring at the same time. Charlotte went after her three individual times and cost her ass the match when, you know, the Kari's friend went, I'm done with you chasing my friend and getting out of the ring. I'm just going to blow this mist in your face and pin you. And that's what happened.
All right, so we got a caller on the line. It's Jason. Jason, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just wanted to talk about the Graves-Ronaldo situation.
Oh, great.
I find it crazy that the WWE won't address the situation or even get Mauro back on TV. Last week was terrible without him. It reminded me of the Motley Crue record without Vince Neil. It just sounded awful. I mean, there's no repercussions for a guy like Graves?
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. I think I explained it pretty well last week, but listen. How can I say this? I mean, no, there's no repercussions for Graves. What does that tell you? Like, that's all you need to know right there. What does that tell you that there's no repercussions for Corey Graves? If you can't fit the puzzle pieces together, try to remember why Mauro Ranallo is on NXT. Why isn't he on Raw? Why isn't he on SmackDown? Why is he on NXT? That's one part of the puzzle. The other part of the puzzle is this all went down and there were no repercussions on Corey Graves. That's everything that you need to know. Now, with that said, I do think he's back for NXT on Wednesday. I don't know for sure, but the impression I got over the weekend was he's doing better and he's probably going to be back on Wednesday. But that's the answer to your question. I mean, this is not that hard to figure out. I don't mean to yell at the caller. I'm not irritated at the caller. I'm irritated at the company. A lot of infuriating things about this story.
Infuriating things about that company. All comes from the top.
This person here says, been an observer, subscriber, 20-plus year subscriber of the website for as long as I remember. Best value for any wrestling fan. I work from home listening to the podcast. Helps the workday fly by. That's Greg from Lawrence, Kansas. Greg, if Greg works at home and listens to the shows all day, he might be able to listen to everything in the archives. But I still think that it would be very, very difficult because we keep adding stuff.
Well, I mean, if you listen to it subconsciously, I mean, you must fall asleep. I mean, if you put this on 24/7, you're still not going to get through all the content because we just keep creating new content like the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare that Adam Summers is recording right now talking about New Japan Pro Wrestling, the Tag League, as well as everything else going on around Japan, and that's going to be up for subscribers of the site relatively soon as well. So, see, it just never stops here at F4WOnline.com.
Seth Rollins tonight will issue an apology on Raw. This is your Raw lineup, okay? So, Seth is going to come out and issue an apology. It's almost like trivia. Like, can anybody figure out what Seth is going to say tonight? I mean, is he going to come out and say that he's apologizing and then say, I apologize that I didn't say enough bad things about the Raw roster. I apologize for not going harder on you fans. Of course, that's what he's going to do. We've seen it a million times. Also, I love this one.
Yes.
I mean, so last week, Charlotte faces Asuka one-on-one. And Kairi Sane is outside doing nothing, I might add. She's
nothing.
Just there.
Watching the match, sanctioned to be there.
And three times, Charlotte distracts herself to go after Kairi. Mm-hmm. I have no idea why, because she's crazy, striking. I guess.
Very cute.
And the third time she goes after Kairi, she ends up getting misted and pinned, okay?
Uh-huh.
So on Raw tonight, they're doing Charlotte versus both of the Kabuki Warriors in a two-on-one match.
Sure.
Why would I want to see this? I basically saw a two-on-one match last week, and Charlotte lost. So as a fan, I'm supposed to think, well, if we have another two-on-one match this week, which, by the way, is sanctioned. So last week, Kyrie didn't do anything. This week, she can do something. I'm supposed to think maybe Charlotte's got a chance. This is dumb. But that's the match tonight.
I'm sure it's going
Enjoy, everybody.
Sure it's going to lead to somebody running out there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know who's going to run out there. It's going to be Becky Lynch, and they're going to set up a match at TLC for the titles. Mm. So now you don't have to watch the show, everybody. That's your spoiler.
And I worry about what they're going to do at TLC. And this is what NXT has now done to me with, can you top this that was leading into Survivor Series and into TakeOver? I can imagine with some of these TLC matches, I don't know. I'm not saying we should have a moratorium on anything, and I'm not trying to sound like too much like the old man, you know, waving his fist at the cloud or anything, but I do, you know, after seeing Ciampa and Adam Cole with the Project Ciampa off the top of the cage, I don't know. And I just have some concerns over every time there's a gimmick pay-per-view and these gimmick matches that, again, it's amazing what these people are able to do and the fact they're able to walk away from it. I'm amazed by it. But please, if I have a vote, you don't have to do all of that on account of me. I'm sure somebody else is saying you need to do more of it. It's just yikes.
All right, let's go to Jack in Montana. What's going on, dude?
Did you see the news about Charlotte and Andrade trademarking, applying for trademarks?
For what, their names?
For good. Ashley Flair and Andrade trademarked El Idolo and La Sombra.
Good.
That's very
Absolutely
good,
great. Especially La Sombra. You should have had that anyway. I'm surprised CMLO didn't for some reason have it. Good. That's great because you need to have options. You need to have a career outside WWE. You need to have something. And that is her name. She should have the ability to use it. We saw what happened with Cody and Cody Rhodes for that short period of time. You know, he couldn't use it. So, you know, the fact that you're going to go ahead and do this, that's just smart business. Good thinking.
All right. Thanks so much for the call. I'm actually surprised. I can't believe that WWE hasn't trademarked Charlotte Flair. What?
We said Ashley. Ashley.
Oh, Ashley Flair.
Yeah.
All right, I
so
got
So you
it.
Want to make sure you jump on that first. Again, you can't do Charlotte, but you want to make sure you have your last name. And when it comes to Andrade, I mean, you know, La Sombra was a great character anyway. There's a zillion things he could do with it if he wanted to go back to it. Now, El Idolo, that's just smart. Like, the same way Alberto Del Rio took El Patron. He was always announced that way, the same way that El Idolo is said in his in Andrade's theme and is brought up with his name. So it's just very smart to jump ahead and to get those trademarks before WWE does. Very good idea.
This person says, Brian, your own website says, quote, Bobby Lashley won the last man standing match, I guess. I laugh so hard at this. That's 2019 WWE in a nutshell. Yeah, there you go.
You know, if you want to see, like, you know, great things that happened at Starrcade, you could go to midatlanticpod.com. I know a guy who's really into that Jim Crockett promotion stuff. He's really good. Twitter, too. Midatlanticpod. Check it out.
Back in a moment, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com. If you want to give us a call, 1-800-878-PLAY. 1-800-878-7539. So, actually, I believe it or not, I missed this. And a million people mentioned it to me, but I still don't know what it was. This person says, Brian, did you see the quote from F4W at the beginning of Survivor Series putting over NXT? I'm surprised they didn't use, quote, I want my old NXT back. If so, were you aware they were going to use that? I had no idea. People were, like, tweeting me and texting me about it, but I still don't know what they said. Who said what win on Survivor Series? Just somebody let me know. I don't care. I think it's funny. It's actually hilarious. I
mean, well, and anything, if you look at movies and stuff like that, when one of the big jokes is they take things out of context from reviews and then just put that little piece up there. The review could say the whole show stunk, but there was one part that, you know, you said something nice about it and it gets put up there.
Yeah, so, but you don't have to use that for me because I love NXT. I just want to know what they put up. Whose quote was it? Was it mine?
I don't know.
Well, somebody tell me. That's all I'm asking. I'm not mad. I'm entertained.
Angry.
They put those things up all the time. They never use our website. So I want to know what they finally used, of all things. This This person says,
Corey can tell us.
I can confirm. I work from home, listen to old F4W shows. There's no way I'm even close to 10% done after being a subscriber for 3.5 years. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff up there.
There is.
This person says, to me, the handicap match tonight is about them restarting the feud to give Charlotte and Becky a reason to come together, since Charlotte basically said they're teaming up because, quote, it is what it is, and the man build doesn't count anymore. Make up booking their specialty. Well, if you've been watching the storyline, and you've been watching what Charlotte and Becky have been saying about each other and about how they've been forced to team up, they better have a really good reason for Becky coming out to save Charlotte tonight. I guess we'll see. But, I mean, they both said they don't want to team with each other. So, if that's the case, why would Becky save Charlotte from a 2-on-1 beating?
Well, she was missed it as well.
Is Charlotte going to beat them and then they beat her down and then out comes Becky to make the save?
Oh, God.
Is that what's going to happen?
Banana peel and she gets the win that way? Or are you talking about she flat beats them?
She flat beats them.
Oh, my.
I wouldn't be surprised. You know how many times I've seen Vince beat the tag team champions to try and get one person over? Like, yeah. That's his gimmick.
That's what he thinks about the tag team division. Yeah, that's true.
This person here says, I just finished listening to the Granny Show from last night. I swear I'm not trolling when I say this. But Granny's view of pro wrestling today perfectly sums up the biggest problem with wrestling in 2019. Everything looks the same because everyone does the same thing, and wrestling is now boring because of it. Amidst all of the five-star matches, no one stands out because nobody has an interesting character. I honestly believed if Granny watched AEW, her reviews would be the same. There aren't any Undertakers left in wrestling that grab non-fans' attention.
Yeah.
Well, first off, I don't think that's trolling, but listen, Granny doesn't watch... I guess Granny has started watching SmackDown, but she doesn't watch Raw, and she watches NXT. And I'm going to get everybody mad at me. Not everybody. 50% of the people are going to be mad at me. But if you watch NXT, and I'm saying this as somebody who loves NXT, if you watch NXT on Wednesday, and you watch AEW on Wednesday, I will fight you over the idea that NXT is doing a better job building up characters than AEW. Right now, and this is so weird because it's so unlike WWE, NXT of the two shows is the work rate show. It is. NXT is a show where it's like match, 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 match. They do maybe one quick angle. They have these nothing happening backstage interview segments, but it's mostly put on a great match for Full Sail. Put on a great match for Full Sail. Put on a great match for Full Sail. What is AEW? Well, I mean, how many times when reviewing AEW and NXT have Vinny and I both said, well, I liked the AEW show better, but NXT had the best match. It's like every week. AEW throws people out there. Every now and then there'll be a Rey Fénix and Nick Jackson match. Or last week there was the Pac Kenny Omega match, where like they're designed to go out there and tear the house down with a match. But like a lot of times it's just, here's a match, here's a long Chris Jericho interview segment, here's a match, here's a long Cody segment where he does a promo or whatever. I mean, they're more of a sports entertainment show than NXT is right now. And I'm not even saying like that's a bad thing. When I watch AEW, they swing and miss. I mean, the Butcher and the Blade, my God. I mean, you can't have a bigger swing and a miss than that one this past Wednesday. But I watched the show, and I can see that they're trying to create stars. Whereas when I watch NXT, they're trying to just put on the very best wrestling matches with people that are already stars, like Finn Balor came down from the main roster. I mean, that's what it is. Am I wrong about this?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it NXT is like a steakhouse right now. I mean, you know, it's a little bit, you walk in, it's a little dim, but you're going to get this awesome meal, and it's, you know, you're getting your meat and potatoes, and it's going to be fantastic, and there's not a whole lot of garnish going with it. You know, everything's, you got a good a la carte setup going, and AEW is the wacky bar that opened up that is trying a bunch of gimmicks and is throwing a bunch of stuff at the wall and wants to be all-inclusive and be 31 flavors. And because of that, You're going to get some flavors that you don't like, and you're going to pass by. But then you're also going to get some things that are like Jericho or like Omega. Again, you're getting a little bit of everything out there, and that's it. They are two very distinct shows, and they are pulling two very distinct audiences. And I'm wondering, when it comes to the audiences, if you're going to get a call from WWE that's going to ask Granny to stop watching NXT, because just her stop watching is going to bring down the median age, I think, a lot, and they need that right now.
I'm the kidding. Median age.
50-something years old? What are they? What is it now? That's even NXT.
NXT's prime demo and Raw and SmackDown is 50-plus.
Yeah, that's
insane. And AEW's in the low 40s.
It's crazy. And even that is very scary. It is, again, in the fact that we are pulling, and we'll see what happens this week with these numbers, but we're probably looking at another 1.7, 1.8 million people. We saw Raw's third hour averaged out last week was 1.9 million. SmackDown, I'm not sure what the overnights were. I think basically, you know, with the ebbs and flows, it was around 2 million people. Again, about 2.2, 2.3 million people, maybe at most. These are not great numbers, and we talked about yesterday when it comes to that Bray Wyatt belt. Yes, the concentration of the fan base, those people are spending more than ever. They're keeping the economy of it going. They're keeping the ball spinning, but it is tough to see how this thing is fragmented, and again, we're very early into AEW. You know, WWE is incredibly strong financially. They're incredibly, incredibly solvent. They're going to be around a long time. And there's a lot of other people out there, like New Japan, that are going to be around for the long term. But are we really creating fans that quickly? And that's something that is, we're going to have to look at these numbers. And as the competition is important, the overall growth of the number is going to be what's really, really important, because the website shouldn't be growing at a much faster clip than the entire wrestling business. And that seems to keep happening year after year after year.
All right. So this person here says, where is it here? Because I double-checked this. This person says, Corey did apologize on his podcast and finally deleted the tweet. No, he didn't. I'm on Corey Graves' Twitter right now, November 23rd. Just for the record, guys, I know you wouldn't know it, but there's actually a WWE Hall of Famer and a former Ring of Honor champion on commentary. I'd imagine they have a lot to offer. It's not deleted. It's still up there. But thank you for your text message.
It's going to be a thing this week again, too.
This person here says, besides some issues with execution, AEW Dynamite has been exactly what I want from a weekly wrestling show. Should they make any changes if their ratings continue to remain flat, or if they drop, I worry they will hotshot and ruin a great show. I can't tell you that they're not going to hotshot. I can't tell you because I don't know. But I do know a few things. Tony Khan has been a hardcore wrestling fan forever. And Tony Khan is well aware of what hotshotting has done to promotions in the past. Tony Khan is well aware of what hotshotting has done to WWE recently. There's also, they got Jim Ross there. They got Chris Jericho there. Jim Ross was there through the Monday Night Wars. He knows everything about hotshotting. Chris Jericho was there through the Monday Night Wars. Worked for WCW and WWE. He knows everything about hotshotting. I would be very surprised if this company fell into the hotshotting trap. I don't think that's going to happen. If they start badly losing, will they make some changes? I think they will make some changes. I don't know what the changes will be, but I don't think that you're going to see the crazy hotshotting, because everybody there knows how hotshotting affects a wrestling promotion. WWE, it doesn't matter. WWE is all about, let's hotshot something and let's boost the rating just a little bit. And, you know, we're a $6 billion company. We've got all of this money. It doesn't matter. Like, nothing matters. They can false advertise. Nothing matters. I mean, they're slowly dwindling their audience away and everything like that. But when I say nothing matters, it's like there's nothing they can do where they're going to go out of business in the next couple of years. Nothing. Zero. Zilch. AEW doesn't have anything near those resources. AEW goes in there, they make the mistakes WWE makes, they're out of business. They're a traditional wrestling company right now. Maybe one of these days they'll sign a $2.3 billion television deal, and then they can make a bunch of stupid mistakes if they want to. But now they can't afford to do that. So we'll see what happens, but I do not expect crazy hot-shotting.
Let's look at what hot-shotting is. You know, like traditionally, it's like, you know, a lot of blood, a lot of this, a lot of that. Like, it's such a cavalcade of stuff on AEW. It's like, what would be considered hot-shotting? You know, we've already had, you know, the executive of the company get suplexed through barbed wire. We've had, you know, all sorts of, you know, we had a body bag match on. Was that the first show? Or was that the all-in pay-per-view or all-out, whatever it was? I can't remember, but it's like, you know, I don't even know what hot-shotting would be in the world of AEW. But yeah, I mean, they just started. They're only a couple months old, and their TV partners are going to have a play in that too. If they're happy with what's going on, then you don't have to be as excited, and you can keep, you know, going around the course that you want to go on. So there's a lot of variables here to play with, but the bottom line is, it's like when we talk about ratings, we're still at their infancy right now with what's going on as far as what that company is and how they're going to grow it. And there are going to be mistakes, and there's going to be missteps, and it's just going to be how they learn from those and how they take everything in and move on.
This person here says, when looking into it, I don't know if this is true or not, this is what they said. When looking into it, after seeing Charlotte's trademark for the name Ashley Flair, there is no trademark on the name Charlotte Flair at all listed. That can't be true.
I can't believe that.
That can't
I
be true.
I can't
Because
believe
if it
that.
Was true, she'd have got it. Right?
I would, yeah. I mean, that would be silly not to. That's incredible. Somebody right now should take it for wrestling purposes. I mean, that's just insanity to me. And they vacillate between Charlotte and Charlotte Flair so much. I can't believe that wouldn't be the case.
This person says, every week it seems NXT has the best wrestling match. I love both shows, but I look forward to the AEW show due to the combination of matches and angles. Hey, very quickly, Jaime, I forgot about you. You're on the air. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I just wanted to say, I also love the Chris Jericho Thanksgiving thing. And just for the non-Spanish-speaking people, it was funny how the Boricuas were talking about the gift bag that they give Jericho with the sandals. And the funny part about that is, like, all Hispanics know that Mexican moms, when you disrespect them, even you could be 2 miles off, when they throw that sandal, it never misses. That was a joke. And it was also great how Chris Jericho, you guys forgot to mention how he got a bottle of 40 over.
He did. Well, he can get anything over. In fact, I want to thank you very much for the call, Jaime. If you guys have not heard yet, Chris Jericho's Little Bit of the Bubbly, as of this weekend, has sold over 10,000 bottles.
Oh, my God.
Yes. 10,000 bottles of bubbly.
That's how you do it, kids. Take note.
Back in a moment, Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. These ratings, AWNXT, should be out any second now.
Come on.
So follow me on Twitter, at Brian Alvarez. I'll get them up there as soon as I can. It'll be my weekly put two numbers on Twitter, say zero about them, and get thousands of angry responses.
You're on the payroll, you know that, right?
This person here says, was I on the payroll on Thursday when I voted for NXT as the better show of the two?
Somebody put me on the payroll. Come on.
That's like the whole point. Like, you know how much it sucks to be on the payroll, but I never got paid a dime?
I just like being on the payroll.
Like, if I'm going to be on the payroll, I should at least get paid.
I just like getting yelled at by both groups because there's stuff they don't like. So it's like, how could you be okay, boomer, in love with WWE, and at the same time, just, yeah, be completely the opposite direction and be on the payroll for AEW?
Hey, am I on the payroll for ranting about The Butcher and the Blade? This person says, I was in the crowd when The Butcher and the Blade made their debut. We were even more confused in the live audience without commentary. It was awkward in the entire building, even if Jim Ross would have known who they were. I watch BTE. I subscribe to the WWE Network. I subscribe to New Japan World. I attend shows on my local indie. I subscribe to the website. I had no idea who The Butcher and the Blade were, and none of my friends did either. Well, hopefully we'll find out who they are on Wednesday. Because you know what? We didn't know last week, so this week they can tell us, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're out of time, everybody. Hey, don't forget, WrestlingObserver.com, $3.99. 1 month of unlimited access. Do not miss out. I'm telling you, if you miss out, it's going to be another year before you can get it for $3.99. Check it out at WrestlingObserver.com. 100 things WWE fans should know and do before they die. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next time. Wrestling Observer Live.